ladies, gentlemen, pimps in between, as one Daniel Fintel would say. Welcome back to the Arsenal Cannon podcast extravaganza. This is episode 198, and it's Christmas Eve, so this is going to be a bit of a different one, because it's just me. I'm the third person in the Quad Effect that is attempting to do a solo podcast. Daniel did eight of them right at the start, if you scroll back, first eight episodes of the show. And Mac did one earlier this season, and it was actually pretty good. I'm not sure I'm able to live up to Max high level, because Max was great. But I'm going to try. The reason I'm by myself is because it is Christmas Eve, and the various other members of the Quad Factor are busy with, you know, Christmas Eve family related stuff. And I have a bit of time to just, you know, do a 15 minute, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. We'll see how long I can go for. Because we're kind of rushing to get to episode 200 before the new year. So we're like, we need to do this 198, then have West Ham 199, and then we have our Drunkcast episode 200. So we thought we should get something out. And also, it's such a big game, it feels like it needs a bit of coverage and gives you something to listen to as you prepare to, you know, eat your Christmas dinner tomorrow and get some presents. So if you are celebrating, enjoy. If you're not, I guess it's just an extra, not particularly significant podcast for you. But yeah, going to talk about the Liverpool game. And before that, I want to shout out Chelsea, who played today on Christmas Eve and lost to Wolves. I feel like I keep saying this, but they just aren't getting the criticism that they deserve for how abysmal they are. Like, they are pathetic to have spent the money they've spent. And I just feel like the mainstream coverage is not sort of exemplifying how abysmal this is. They are pathetic, shit, rancid club, and their vile fan base deserve everything that's coming towards them with this miserableness. And I mean, so they've spent £1 billion over the last, what, 18 months to have, what, 45 points at the end of last season, and then to sit level on points with Wolves and Bournemouth on Christmas Day in 2023. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious, but also deserves to mention, it deserves to have more sort of coverage of how unbelievably dreadful that is from them, and how much of a sporting failure it is, because I just don't feel like I'm seeing enough of that. Anyway, back to us. And we went to Anfield and we got a point, which I saw a bit of frustration after the game. I feel like a point at Anfield is always a good result. It's something, you know, I remember the days of losing 5-1, you know, 4-0 several times. Even when Liverpool weren't that good, they seemed to roll us over at Anfield. We came here, we showed personality, we got a result that keeps us top of the league for Christmas and keeps us as firm favourites in my view. And most of the models and the odds say that as well. So I can only look at it positively. And I think the performance was pretty good generally. I'm going to start with my explosive moment, because I feel like that sort of encapsulates the sort of overriding narrative of the game. And for me, it's the Trent miss. I was watching the game at the Tollington, and when he hit the bar, it was like we'd score, like the crowd went mental. The people in the pub, the Arsenal pub, packed Tollington, went absolutely mental, because it was like, it looked like a certain goal. Obviously, we didn't see that Rice was back, but when he first went through, I was like, what the fuck? How is Salah just running through on goal with like five players supporting him? And then we see Rice coming out, and it's pretty smart from Rice to backpedal there. And yeah, just massive relief, because that was the only moment I felt like they properly threatened in the game, obviously, aside from their brilliant goal. And it would have been, the reason it's an explosive moment is because it prevented us from having a gut-wrenching defeat. Which would have been really harsh. It would have felt so annoying that we'd sort of, it would have felt kind of like the Newcastle and Villa games, and that we'd basically been pretty good, but then another game where we're just narrowly losing from some stupid moment, and this was Odegaard and Zinchenko just colliding, and that would have gifted them 3 points. It would have been horrible, because I think we deserved at least a point, and that would have been really, really difficult to take and would have ruined Christmas for me. So that's my explosive moment. because of what it signified, how we were able to get the point in the end. Good stuff. I think there's a lot of good stuff. I think the personality of the team, the maturity of the team, the way we came out of the blocks, firing and pressing them, and, you know, we started brilliantly. I was like, this is a serious, serious team. We are playing at the absolute elite level. And this game was kind of one of those games where, when you think back a few years, we used to say it all the time, when Liverpool would play City, it wasn't necessarily, I mean, they had a few entertaining games, but it wasn't necessarily the most entertaining game. I remember one, maybe it was on New Year's Day when Man City beat Liverpool 2-1 with a Sane goal. That sort of game. There was one at Anfield, I think it ended a draw when Mahrez missed a penalty, skied it. Those sorts of games, I remember looking back and we're like, we want to be involved in these. They're not the most exhilarating, but they are such a high level. The coaches can see how exquisite both teams are. They're so well coached. And I was like, I want to be involved in those games. And this felt like it. And, you know, both teams have periods of where they're on top. But it is a bit of a sort of knockout game, knockout boxing match, a bit cagey. But I love the way we started, the high energy, the pressing, the bravery to do that at Anfield and you know, throw yourself at them early doors to try and shut up the crowd. I think that was clear. And I thought the first 15 to 20 minutes were excellent from our point of view. And just, yeah, really brave. I thought Martinelli, I might get to him and some of my canon concerns, but I actually thought he started really well with some of his dribbling from deep. I think he was bad in the final third, but he really helped us relieve pressure getting out. Saka was looking dangerous early on. Odegaard was pulling the strings. Jesus was lively. It was just a really, really good start. We looked threatening from set pieces. Obviously got the goal. Brilliant header from Gabriel. And yeah, I thought that was excellent. The main good stuff that I want to really focus on is some of the individual performances, but more the sort of core of Saliba, Gabriel and Rice. I think that they are absolutely elite. And I think this game just showed it. We can trust them. This is the real deal. Like, they are, we may not always be firing on all cylinders in the final third, but with that core base protecting our goal and, you know, Charlotte, they can negate the greatest attackers on the planet. I truly believe that. And with that base, we are always going to be at least in games. Like, I can't see us ever getting rolled over with that quality centre-back partnership and one of the best defensive midfielders in the world just sweeping up the amount of space he covered. He absolutely dominated that midfield, Declan Rice. And Saliba, I mean, the words to describe this guy, I'm like Rolls Royce, Imperius, they're the ones we see. But today, the sort of significance of it, because he was up against the previous, you know, best centre back in world football in Virgil van Dijk. The fact he did it in his own backyard, what it sort of showed about how he collapsed last season because he wasn't there, I think it really reinforced that. Just utterly dominant. When Salah moved down the middle, utterly dominant. Gakpo in the first half just had him. They couldn't get anything out of him, and he was just sweeping up. He was so strong, so imperious, so aggressive in his ball winning. Normally Gabriel was more of the aggressor, but I thought Saliba was very aggressive in this game. There were a couple of moments where he just win the ball so smoothly and managed to play out, and his passing was, you know, really brave in a difficult, hostile atmosphere. Where, you know, you can get flustered and you often revert to either rushed sort of balls nowhere near the danger zone or really conservative passing. That can often happen. And I think potentially get onto someone who I felt encapsulated that side. Saliba was the absolute opposite. He was trying his normal, you know, quite ambitious, neat little passes into midfield, into Rice, stab passes in tight spaces. Unbelievable. And Gabriel was absolutely imperious as well. Just that core three deserves the credit, because I think they kept us. They were the reason, like, it just felt like we were never going to get bullied and we were never going to get overrun by what is a brilliant Liverpool attack. Like, at the end of the day, they created about 0.9 XG, I've seen on various models, and that's like one of the best attacks in the world. We've limited to under 1 XG, and then, like, it's almost all in the trench chance. Like, it's like 0.5 of that is in the trench chance, which comes from, you know, a freak accident between Zinchenko and Odegaard. Like, they did not create against us, even if it felt nervy at times. For example, at the start of the second half, which I think was another good thing, we started the second half and it looked like the crowd was rattling us. They were pressing us really high. We kept giving the ball away in stupid areas and allowing them to pounce on us and in the transition. The positive thing was, A, we dealt really well when they got into those areas. We didn't allow them good shooting opportunities at any point when they were winning the ball back from there. And that was mainly because our centre-backs were so good and Rice. But also, we recovered from that first sort of 15 minutes. Last season, when that happened, when we started that half poorly, we ended up absolutely falling apart and they had several chances. They probably should have won that game in the end. This season, we recovered from it. Zinchenko started getting on the ball, and I'll get to him. Zinchenko started getting on the ball and dictating and playing between the lines, and we regained our personality in the game. And for the last sort of 20 minutes, it looked like we were the only team that were going to win it. We were the team pushing. We were the team having all the ball in the final third. And to say that about a performance at Anfield, I don't think I've ever said that. Like, 20 minutes level, our players, they've made more subs. They've had more fresh legs on the pitch. And we were the team that were pushing for the winner. And we were the team that looked like getting the winner. And that was probably, because there was a period in the second half, I was getting quite frustrated. I was like, this is trending in the wrong direction. And then we ended up, you know, we ended up turning that around completely, and it made me feel a lot better about the game because we ended it so well. So yeah, I was pretty delighted with that aspect, and it just feels like we can go up against anyone. I think we can take them at home, because I do think we're a better team. This game made me feel like we were a better team generally, and I'm convinced now we are a better team. This game, yeah, also showed that I think we're a better team than we were last season, which we were debating earlier on in the season, but I think it's become clear recently now that attacking output has gone up a bit. Obviously, maybe not in this game against another good defence, but generally it's gone up a bit, and yeah, we look excellent. Other good stuff in terms of individual performances. I thought David Raya was fine. Claimed crosses pretty well. Didn't do anything stupid in possession. I didn't love his distribution. I felt like he was a bit too eager to go long, and I get it. He's playing the biggest game of his career. It's a bit natural to be a bit more conservative and just launch out the pitch. And obviously, Liverpool were pressing him at times, so he was forced into it a couple of times. But I do felt like his long distribution wasn't great. Like, he wasn't picking out. He was trying to find Havertz and Martinelli every single time on that side. And I haven't seen the stats, but it felt like he wasn't completing many of those long balls. But in terms of, you know, if you think about the stock rising, stock falling type concept, it's definitely a stock rising because there were no mistakes. He was, you know, he didn't have any outrageous saves to make. He had absolutely no chance of the goal, by the way. That's stupid. I've seen a few people try and blame him for that. It's absolutely mental to me. It's an unbelievable finish. But it's a stock rising in the fact that he didn't, you know, there were none of those sort of poor power passes that lead directly to chances, you know, out from the back. Or he wasn't, you know, flapping any crosses. He was really commanding, actually, in a lot of those crosses. And that is his best attribute. We've just seen him be a little bit insecure in those positions. You think of the Luton second goal. And I thought the 2-8s were good as well. I thought Odegaard dropping in to help the build-up has really helped us. I think it's quite an interesting tweak from Arteta. I thought Havertz was pretty decent. The fact that he got booked, which was a stupid booking, by the way, he got booked and he's out for the next game and people are sort of worried about that. Shows how far we've come from like a month or two ago. But yeah, the change of feet, the change of direction, he looked like he belonged in this team and in this game at this level. So I was pretty happy with him. So I thought generally the centre-backs and the midfield were good. And then everyone else is kind of up for discussion. And that's going to move on to my canon concerns. I think both the fullbacks deserve talking about. I feel like White's performance has gone under the radar. I thought it was bad, mostly. I don't think he did much wrong defensively, although there is this thing he does where someone's driving at him and he really steps off like and allows them to drive at him. I'm like, you've got to get tighter because they can take you on. And it resulted in conceding the United goal early in the season for Rashford. It resulted in conceding the goal at Luton from Ross Barkley. He steps off people and I'm like, why are you not engaging there? Like, I don't know. There was a couple of times, but generally he was fine defensively. And there was some good aggressive interceptions, particularly in the first half when we were pressing up. But on the ball, so many. And granted, it is a very difficult place when you're particularly in that narrow pitch and you're on that, you know, touchline and you've got the Liverpool crowd right there. When you're being played the ball in difficult positions down that right-hand side, it can be difficult in that area. But I felt like he could have been a bit more conservative, come inside. He kept trying to play that clip ball, forced clip ball up the line to Saka. And I was like, this is what I expect from Cedric on the ball. Like, this is what Cedric does. He gets the ball and he just clips up the line and hopes that the right winger will get to it and win the duel, or it'll go over their fullback and they'll be in behind. But they were just really poor quality passes. And again, I haven't seen his pass numbers, but I feel like they'll be low. He did it less in the second half, but I was really frustrated with him in the first half because they were just bad, bad clips down the line. And he doesn't look right to me. He looks like he's still suffering a bit from an injury, and he needs that break in Dubai. He needs to have his feet up for a little bit because I think he needs to get back to full fitness. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of, you know, taking him out because of Tomiyasu and Timber's injuries. And Zinchenko, probably the most divisive figure in this game for us. And I get it. I get that when you're playing these really massive games, high leverage fixtures where the margins are so tight, you can't have a player who can potentially cost you by doing something stupid or not being switched on. The thing with it for me is, so I'm gonna talk about how I thought the performance went for him. So I thought first half, he was competent in possession. Like, he was fine. He was keeping it relatively simple. He didn't do anything stupid. He wasn't like excellent, but he was fine. He was being targeted relentlessly by their long ball. And they clearly, like, they weren't going towards Saliba. They weren't even going towards White, who was playing poorly. They weren't going towards Gabriel. They sensed that the way to target this Arsenal team is to get in behind Zinchenko and play those direct long balls to Salah. And obviously their best players there, so they're going to be doing that anyway. But they really, really, you know, focused on it. Trent was launching those passes towards there. And I thought he did well, mostly, in that aspect. Like, Salah was quiet in the first half, generally. The issue is, a player of Salah's quality can, you know, produce one moment of excellence. And he did that. And there was one moment where Zinchenko got caught out. I think it's been so overdone. I feel like people are so fixated on Zinchenko's defensive frailties that they forget everything else he brings, but they also sort of over-index these moments. Like, Salah can do that to basically any fullback. Like, he has done it several times. He is one of the best in the world at coming in on his left foot, and it's very difficult to stop him. It looks weak from Zinchenko. I think he's very, very cautious and thinks he can't give away a penalty, and he's scared of that. But, like, the other thing is, I don't think he's, like, allowed him into, like, it's not like he's let him walk inside into a one-on-one situation. He's obviously thought it's not worth the risk of diving in and giving away a penalty. And he's coming inside to an area where Gabriel is coming round, and he's still at a tough angle. But then he produces, like, an absolutely exquisite finish. And by the way, like, the ball going over his head initially is not his fault. Like, that for me is down to us not pressing Trent well enough in the first half. We just allowed him to spray those passes, and it's unbelievable pass from Trent. So I don't really have blame with him for that. And I just think, yeah, that's going to happen. Like, a great player is going to beat your fullback occasionally. And I don't think, it's not like he was being, you know, isolated one-on-one and getting rinsed constantly. Like, it literally didn't happen again in the game. So if it was happening over and over again, then yeah, I'd be a bit more concerned. Then in the second half, this is the period of the game where I was frustrated with him. Not the defensive mistake. It's the start of the second half. The first 15 minutes when we were rattled and we were losing the ball. Again, we didn't concede chances because we were so good defensively in terms of, like, our centre-back sweeping everything up. But we were rattled in that period and we were giving the ball away in stupid areas. And it stemmed from him a lot of the time. Like, he two or three really bad giveaways. And I've spoken about it before. It's because he's got this... he's got the brain of a midfielder. So when he's in possession, he kind of thinks, he's very sort of overindulgent. Like he wants to get on the ball and like play sort of the more smart pass, if you know what I mean, get on the ball and try and dictate things, play sort of less obvious and more conservative passes than a player in his position should do, because he's naturally a midfielder. Like when you are deep in those roles, you just can't be doing that in games like this. You cannot be giving the ball away in those areas. You've got to sometimes just get it and give it, rather than sort of trying to step on the ball and sort of relaunch more interesting attacks and playing these cute little balls in between the lines and stuff like that. And he did that a few times at the start of the first half, and that really frustrated me, because it's kind of like the thing he did against Wolves. And that's where I'm annoyed at him. And I think he's just got to, someone's got to tell him. But maybe you can never get out of him, because that's also what makes him brilliant. And in the last half an hour, I thought he was one of our best players, like excellent. Like there was one brilliant pass to Saka, and I'm like, we don't have a fullback or defender or potentially anyone else who plays that pass. And the value brings you in possession. Like the reason we were able to regain momentum and look like the team that we're going to win is a lot down to him getting on the ball and reestablishing our personality and in possession and you know, launching those attacks. And I don't know, I'm very much on the side of seeing the value he brings and thinking that that does outweigh the negatives, because ultimately we're top of the league, we have the best defense in the league. So I mean, it's not like he's making us a bad defense. We're literally playing him every week and we have the best defense in the league. We won our Champions League group. So I don't think it's, if it got to a point where it was really hindering us and we were conceding all the time from it, which again, I think people are in over-indexing how much he's costing us massively. If they did get to that point, then we'd obviously have an issue, but it hasn't. So, and I just don't think there's another player on the market who can give us what he brings. I mean, maybe that's because only midfielders, I think, can do what he does. So unless you were to get another midfielder who happened to have better, you know, isolated one-on-one defensive abilities and then create them, mold them into an inverted fullback, but they'd have to learn that position. So maybe Timber is the closest thing we have to it. And maybe that was the plan before this season, but obviously we don't know that now. So he's got to keep playing. And I still love him. And I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player. And I do get it, because you want to feel solid all the time. But yeah, that's what I've got to say about Zinchenko. More of my canon concerns lied with the two wide forwards. And this game really felt like it pointed to what we need to do in January for me, and that is sign a winger. I've heard a lot of talk about strikers. I don't personally see how you can watch yesterday's game. Like I saw some idiots like, what's his name, Henry Winter or something, like pointing, saying, we need to sign Tony. We need to test Tony. Brentford's resolve, 60 million bid. I'm like, how is that what you've concluded from this game? Like, our issue in the final third for me was so obviously the wingers. And that's not to say they aren't both brilliant, but like Saka was really involved. He was trying really hard. He looked like he was the player who could win us the game, but his final action wasn't good enough still. And Martinelli's was worse. Martinelli, this game alarmed me a little bit, because it felt like he wasn't, you know, he has like absolute confidence in his ability. That's like been one of the things that stood out since he's started playing for us. And it kind of feels like in this game, it was the first time I felt he doesn't look like he has all that, like the confidence in his ability that he has been a staple of his game. And he kept, you know, being, you know, looking very indecisive in those final third moments, not trusting his ability to, you know, take on Konate, not getting the shots off earlier, not playing those more early cutbacks and crosses. Like he was taking too long. And yeah, that is a concern for me. I think he'll turn it around. I think he needs a rest, kind of like Ben White. I think he needs a rest. Dubai will help him, hopefully. And that rest can't come soon enough for those two. Again, if we had the luxury of having a natural replacement for Martinelli, another, you know, output merchant on that side who's a touchline winger and is explosive like Saka and Martinelli, then we could take him out of the team and bring that player in. But we don't have that unless Arteta was to trust Reece Nelson, but I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think he does. Trossard, we've been on about it several times, is an interior player. He's not that player. And for me, that is what could upgrade the squad most. I think we need a defensive reinforcement just purely for sort of numbers. But in terms of, and that's a short-term thing, because I think once Timber and Tomiyasu come back, we're fine in that department. But in terms of developing the squad, I think a wide player is really needed. And I think this game just showed it. Like, when these two are either dipping in form or suffering from fatigue, you need someone else who can come in and doesn't change the way you play on that side like Trossard does, because he can't do the same things or play in the same way. We need more of a alternative and close substitute to Saka and Martinelli for me. And if, you know, Saka and Martinelli have been sort of 10, 20% more accurate in their final third actions, then maybe we win this game. And that could be the difference between winning the title or not. It's that close. So, yeah, I think we need more buck from both of them in the final third. And that's a canon concern for me. But generally, we are kind of nitpicking with all these canon concerns when you think about the fact that we are top of the league at Christmas for the second year running. And I think we can really, we can win the league. And I think we're in a great position to do so. So generally, I'm very happy, very excited. We'll leave it there because I've done longer than I thought I would. But yeah, I thought we'd just get something out for you on Christmas Eve about the game. And we'll be back for episode 199. But thanks for listening. And yeah, leave a review and stuff. We love you, arsenal.co.uk. And Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate, just have a nice time in life. Yeah, bye.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us something important. Oh, bring us something important. Bring us something important, let's bring it right here. Good tidings we bring.